Welcome to All Road 65 Max Radio, where the road ahead gets brighter as we journey towards truth, traveling through our dreams and an inspiration into a new reality. It's time, and your ticket is waiting. All Roads Lead 65 Max Radio with Pamela Henderson.
Greetings. Thank you for joining me on BBS Radio, All Roads 65 Max Radio. I am your host, Pamela L. Henderson. My focus is my mission statement: to help create a quality of life through social growth, to inspire Jews to become leaders by establishing partnerships with entrepreneurs, corporations, donors, sponsors, volunteers, the community, and abroad. Please join me every other Tuesday at noon on BBS Radio, All Roads 65 Max Radio. And join me and subscribe on allroads65max.org. My special guest today is Limey and the Gang of Classic Rock Battles, Steve Atkins and Blake Bennett, who share some of their favorite moments in rock and roll history, starting in the 1960s. They tackled the great debate from the UK to the USA. Who really knows how to rock? Without further ado, I want to thank both of you for giving me this interview chance, and welcome to the show.
Thanks, Pamela. So much, Pamela. And may I say it's our honor and privilege to be invited as guests on this great day on your show.
It's absolutely spectacular. And I can't even really explain how excited I am to share good news and to make people feel happy and enjoy the world and life.
Yep, thanks very much. We're very happy to be here.
Oh, by the way, I'm the limey, the English dude.
Yeah. Well,
he's the American over there. He's the one with the louder voices. No offense, you know?
Yeah, right, right. Well, I want to take this time real quick just to say, on my behalf, I want to thank all the soldiers in the world who have given us hope, and the reason why we are here today and able to speak our truth and share some of our ideas and tackle some of the issues that are closest to our hearts. So I thank you so much. And I pray that the war with Russia and the Ukraine, and also with Israel and Palestine and Rafah and also Iran, I hope and I pray every day that it stops. And I am for humanity.
Amen. So As being one person and one humanity and uniting and joining together. And that's our expertise, and we do it through music, don't we, Hank?
That's right. One of the things we wanted to do is reconnect people with their happy memories and their nostalgia, but also share that message of always saying positive things and finding positive stories in music that can help them feel good about themselves.
That's right. You know what they say, music is the soul, and that doesn't matter from classic rock to R&B to hip hop to blues to rap. Jazz. Can't forget about my jazz.
So you're exactly right. It doesn't matter what format or what music. It's all about the message, the love and the passion and the joy behind in it and sharing it. And you know what? We could probably, all three of us, conquer the world by just talking about it and educating people to put on the favorite music. We don't promote any music with any type of bad lyrics or nastiness or untruth. It's all about love, passion, and soul. That's what I'm talking about. And making people get it and shaking the booties and thinking and all. And that's why we do a lot of the older, and I hate to, well, I don't hate to say it, I'm glad I'm here, but being a baby boomer and being raised as a kid in the 60s and 70s, there'll never be another generation like that, I don't think, Pamela. And I'm sure, well, the Yank's more of an 80s boy, and MTV, but that's what we love to do, and that's what motivates us.
We do other music too. We don't just do that. We go back quite a ways with some of the stuff we find that's really interesting for the history of music, but we also throw new stuff in there too.
Yeah.
We had an episode during the pandemic that we looked at our stats and realized that we were in 29 different countries worldwide and thought that was amazing. So we did one called Our World United. Our World Comes Together, One World United. And in that set of episodes, we took different countries and just hopped from the top 10 from one to the other and showed how one country's artist was top 10 in another country whose artist was top 10 in another country to show how connected we all were. It was great.
Wow. That was beautiful.
And you know what? Excuse me. Nowadays, you don't have to wait for your music. In the dark ages, growing up, it wasn't the dark ages, but it was close to it. You had to wait weeks and weeks to listen to your favorite song, whether it was Sam and Dave or the Small Faces, and then you'd get it and play it. People now, we have the ability to pull up our favorite tunes anywhere, any place, anytime, at a split. So my suggestion to all those people out there that are starting to get angry about something, road rage, or waiting for your coffee and everything, put on your tunes.
Put on your tunes.
Put
that's
on your
right.
tunes. It's a God-given gift to everybody. And we have the ability to put it on right now. Put the music on that makes you feel great, makes you feel loving, makes you more patient. Because, like I say, it's a gift from heaven, Just like us being able to speak and say the right things, that's what music does. And great music, we know what great music is, because if it's not coming from the heart and soul and the inspiration from your inner you, we're going, I don't like this. I think they're full of doo-doo. I'm not going to listen to this anymore. And right? And I don't care what kind of music it is. Right, Yank?
What he said, but also that the American music is cooler.
Well, no. You guys invented rock and roll. I know. I love Chuck Berry. But you know what? We turned it around and we sang it in an English voice, and you loved it better. So you brought us back into it.
Washed it up.
That's right. But you did. But you know, throughout all the struggles we've had in America, and I can say that because I'm a 50-50 Bob, proud to be a citizen now. I'm proud of my heritage, too. But, if you look through all the bad times, through, civil wars, and what people have done, they've sang. Whether you've been breaking bricks, whether you've been locked up, whether you've been persecuted. And let's face it, that has led people to become great because of that.
So find harmony in music, find grace in music, find comfort.
Yes.
And it's a universal language. That's why we're so appreciated of all these countries that don't even speak English. And you can sing and you can't understand the words I'm saying, just like I love Santana. I can say Ovi Kovanya. I don't know what they're talking about. But it's coming from the heart and it's
right.
music. So to me, you don't have to really, even the English dudes, I mean, come on, with my accent, you're not going to know everything I say.
Even if you don't know all the words, you can fake it, is what you're saying.
I know, like
any karaoke artist.
You guys go, oh, yeah. You're really going now. I don't understand a word that guy's saying, but I know he's sincere.
But it sounds good. Yeah.
That's right.
If it sounds good, honest, and truthful,
whether it's talking and whether it's music, we're going to love it.
That's so true. But I got a question for you. So educate me. Rock and roll can express emotions. Also, it is a passionate and can be rebellious. What is the main message of rock and roll?
To bring people out of themselves, to make them feel great, to make them get up and shake it and dance. Being a father, I don't spread it. Well, I guess I am spreading it around. Being a soul dancer in my youth in England and dancing in cabaret clubs and DJing and everything, I saw the joy of looking at people getting out there after and getting up to rock and roll, whether it was the 50s and 60s. And if you notice, when people listen, nobody's arguing. Nobody's trying to fight. Everybody wants to dance. Everybody wants to listen. And it makes you feel good. You know, I'm a little bit, I'm not prejudiced because I think all music is great. But growing up as a teenager, the only thing you could want to listen to and loved, I'll be honest with you, is what we called soul music. I've got Tamla Motown, Atlantic, Stax, all that, all the English. That's, and if you went in the club and they weren't playing that, then you didn't want to be in it because we can dance. You know, it's.
We can dance if we want to. We've got all your life and mine.
But even the people that can't dance, they still get up and they try to dance because they can't sit down still. You know, it just takes away all those hardships you've been through with the day, whether you've had a bad day at work, anything, whether you're going through trial in your life, with a separation, or you're sick of the weather report. You're sick of all the bad news. Because let's face it, bad news sells. You know, 95% of it, I hate to say it. I wish we could turn it around.
I'm gonna jump in here, though, and I'm going to say also, this is, to Steve's point, it is a lot about coming of age and finding yourself and finding who you are and claiming that, rebelliously, aggressively doing it. And I feel like the best way to do this, I'm actually going to talk about a British band, but... The Beatles had that little tiff going between them about how John Lennon's like, you know, music needs to be deep and meaningful. And Paul McCartney's like, but I love silly love songs. And it can be both. It can be meaningful and give you a lot of, you know, deep personal introspection, or it can be something to just take you away and be a beautiful slice of life that reminds you of what really matters. Both of those help you with your identity because depending how you're feeling and where you're at, the music you reach for is the one that's going to help you.
So true.
I totally agree with you. And I think it connects us more. I love our country. And I want us to be more connected to those things that make us happier, to make us more joyous, and to make us think good, positive things between one another. You know, no matter, I don't want to get into politics, but no matter what your view is, when I see the country divided, that breaks my heart. I would be in the wrong, and the rest of the country, 95%, not agreeing with me, going, okay, I'll compromise and look, because I'd rather us be united than divided. Because it's divided, you look throughout history, Pamela, we're not going to make it. And I love the United States, and I love the name of it, just like England's a free world. We're the leaders of the free world, but, you know, there's a lot of different countries that are still free, and it's up to us to share the love and the passion, what we keep us united. And I believe music is one of them, because it is the universal language.
But there's more to it, too. I mean, a lot of times we end up being divided because other people tell us that's how we should be. Others who may have not the best intentions or have their own personal gain in mind. And that's one of the things that could bother me, you know, in the modern day. We've said before that we don't turn a blind eye to the struggles in the world when we do our show. We know that these things are out there. We want everybody to remember, though, that we want to represent a place with our show where you can come and you can relax, you can have a good time, you can have good memories or learn about new music. But it's all positive, and it's all about us coming together through music, because we do have that in common. Most of us who are being told we should be divided, if we sat down across the table from that other person that you're supposed to be angry at or scared of or what have you, you'd find you have so much more in common than you realize.
And rhetoric, you know, that is so true. And I agree with both of you. And one issue is true. We have to be authentic. And what we believe in, we have to stand by it. And we have to voice our opinions, no matter. And I know I'm one person. I am unapologetically being Pamela. I believe in what I believe in. And if it's not right, I'm going to say something about it. I'm not trying to hurt or step on anyone's toes. But at the same time, we have to. When it's wrong, it's wrong. And if humanity comes together, and one thing that we all have in common, no matter if our music is different than one another, but if we play it, we all love it. We all dance. We all do those things. So, you know, that is what we have to bring to the forefront. And when you discuss about politics, don't get me started. I get into politics because there's a lot of things.
Those are such big picture things that try to hit us on an individual scale, but we are all in our own moment in ourselves, in our own lives. And there are so many things we can do every day that don't have to do with someone else telling us there's bad news out there because some group, something or other. Just as you say, our own authentic selves really will tell the truth for all of us.
Absolutely. And we have to remain positive. We have to remain putting out that good energy. And especially now, there's so much negativity and there's so much corruption. You know, maybe we can sing. You guys going to have to rock and roll them out of the house or something. Because
but it's true. So you know, unfortunately, we like to categorize music and stuff. In our charts in England when I was growing up, it don't matter what kind of music. It was great music. It could be number one in the charts, whether it's country, soul, rock and roll, rockabilly, even classical have been up there. You know, we didn't separate it and we don't want to separate that. We should introduce people to all great music, all great songs. And the great thing about music is, you can't lie. When it's recorded and it's real and it's truthful and it's honest and it's great, it stays out there forever. Right. And unfortunately, like any media outlet, Pamela, whether it's computers, whether it was Morse code, whether it was the radio, whether it's AI coming out now, there's propaganda, there's things that come out that are untruthful, and I hate to say it, it's going to be great AI, but it's also on the other side, it's not going to be great. We need to stop that ungreat and those lies and changing people's voices or songs or whatever it is, and to keep it real and honest, because that's the only thing at the end of the day that is going to keep us from collapsing.
Genuineness will shine through. Truth will out.
Yeah. And like you say, it's a universal language, you know, which is fantastic. People need to play more music. I'll tell you an instance what I heard on the TV the other day on the local news station. This gas station was getting lots of crime. There was hold up and people doing things he shouldn't be doing. And they put a couple of speakers out in the front and turned it up loud and they played classical music. And I told my wife and I said, it started going down. The crime started dropping just because they had that music outside. So if that little part of the world can do that, just think what you, and I can do. And spreading that music,
absolutely,
and getting people and stopping them from saying, you know, don't tailgate that person. Don't do that. Put on your tunes and enjoy yourself and live your life. But, you know, even though we've got the ability to get everything spontaneously, we don't have to wait for anything now. We want a cup of coffee, we got this. We want a pizza, we got that. We got everything at our fingertips. And unfortunately, it's a good thing that we do that. But people still need to wait. We don't know how to wait because we're so used to having everything instantaneously, you know?
Sometimes what the algorithm may think is best for us is not actually what is best for us.
Yeah, you know, it's like waiting for your Christmas present and getting it before Christmas. You know? Right? You had to bite your tongue and wait for it.
Right.
You know? But it was worth the wait. So the good things in life, you don't have to wait for. So let's all remember that. And God bless, we're in a country that we're able to do that, you know. But in another way, you can be a hermit now and not go out and socialize and see anybody.
Well, we learned that, didn't we? Yeah. A little thing happened in the 2020s that...
wasn't that something?
For a while.
Yeah.
I mean, all those conveniences are good. I still like going in the grocery store, seeing neighbors, seeing people working, and being around my fellow countrymen, and just walking down the street. And we are so blessed because we live in an area where people will wave to you, you know.
And but look what you're saying. But look what you're saying, though, which is true. But look at all the stores that are closing. I just was reading, unfortunately, with a lot of different stores that are closing because of the chaos that's going on within the world. But I did. I used to love, like, I go to my favorite grocery store, which is Trader Joe's or Sprouts. Mm-hmm. And I even like Grocery Outlet now. And Grocery Outlet, I tell you, they be playing that music. You be shopping and feeling good about yourself. Then you find yourself, you know, turning around and everything. And that's shopping. And that's what we need to get back to. But there are so many stores that are closing because everyone is going online.
Yeah.
Yes, I totally agree with you. Actually, I love Trader Joe's too.
I learned to really value that time outdoors, going out just to be out and about and among people. And
You go into those little stores and you're around those people that are enjoying the music and the environment. And saying hi and doing a little bit of socializing and enjoying life, you know, getting out. But you've always got to have that music there just to keep people going. It's like exercising. All right, I admit it. I'm in the Silver Sneakers group. What are you going to do, right? You can't change time. I love it. I'm probably the only guy that does some of these classes, but that's okay. My wife said, no flirting now. But I couldn't exercise without music.
Yeah.
You can't do it. I don't know if you feel the same way, Pamela.
I do. I can't. Because I go and I jog and I have to have my music. And when I do my yoga, I have to have my music. When I clean up, I have to have my music. Now, what's so unique about it is everything that I do, I listen to different music. Now, I haven't really gotten into rock and roll, but I'm very interested. So my next question to you is, I was told that rock and roll is described with a touch of rhythm and blues and country music. Is that true?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it's an influence of all of it, yeah.
We had some really fun episodes that we went back and we looked at both soul and R&B, and at the same time, we looked at country music. And the more we started digging into the early 20th century, the more we found there were so many things that informed rock and roll that continue through to this day that you might not even realize are there. And examples, of course, are spiritual music, where you're singing about your relationship with the Lord, where you're singing about your relationship, of course, love. It's the common thing. So much beautiful soul music still flows through ballads and songs today. And with country, we were really surprised that there was this rebellion thing that you have the early days of Woody Guthrie, where he's very much the everyday man's man. Then you have that whole phase where you have singing cowboys and happy guys on the screen and everything's all cheery. And then in the 1960s, you have some of the rebellious teens reaching into that Woody Guthrie stuff and saying, let's pull some of that country and folk protest music back. And the folks that are used to singing cowboys don't want any of it. The story is the birds went to play at the Nashville Grand Ole Opry, and nobody at the Grand Ole Opry liked them there because the birds were, you know, a hippie band. We don't want that. But they were doing country.
Right.
Yes, the Yank is exactly right. You look throughout generations and histories and people going off to battle, they've always had the band and the music behind them. But Pamela, you're exactly right. Whatever you're doing, whether it's yoga and stuff, you have to pick that music that suits what you're doing. You know, if I'm doing my aerobics, you know,
yes,
I want Gladys Knight on, or I want somebody where I can shake it. You know, yoga. You know, you want the sitars, you want that.
Yes.
You know. So I think there's a music for everybody in every situation that way. You know.
I do agree.
And like I say, what a wonderful world we live in, that we can get it immediately and get it at the best quality sound you could ever want to hear it from, you know?
I have to make the record player skip because I'm doing aerobics.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So what first got you guys into music, into rock and roll, should I say?
Rock and roll was the beginning of, I think, our generation, which changed everything. Because, you know, we had jazz and we had classical music, and rock and roll was the first people to jump up and say, we're not going to listen to my mom and dad anymore. You know, because they said, oh, that's the devil's music and all that, which in my personal opinion was a bunch of baloney.
They said the same thing about swing in the 1940s.
Yeah. I think without rock and roll, without the 70s and the generations and the decades since then up until now, I think it's changed the world. And I think it can still change the world. The good.
Now, I will jump in and say I am not a boomer. I am a Gen Xer, so we're just a little bit apart. So for me, rock and roll, for me, my exposure was radio. I was living in Boston or outside of Boston. I was getting Boston WRKO, and I was getting Steve Miller Band and Aerosmith and Boston, surprisingly enough. And all of that rock and roll was really great for me to hear, but my dad had already been playing B.B. King and just the classics, Chuck Berry. But the interesting thing I think really informed it was there was a little gap there. My dad's playing B.B. King and the classic rock. Then he starts getting into Motown. And there are times we're sitting watching Soul Train together on the floor in front of the TV. And then rock and roll comes along. And I feel like that's why I love a little bit of everything today, is I've got that full mini history as I was a kid that took me forward.
Is exactly right, because it's the rebels of rock and roll, like Little Richard, like Chuck Berry, like the Beatles and everything, that have said, I'm not putting up with this. As a kid, we had the BBC One, and they had control on what you listened to. And a lot of the stuff that you didn't really want to listen to, you had to listen to. It's only the pirate radio stations that you'd, all right, you put your transistor radio and you had one ear and you go under your covers and someone would take a boat out there, Radio Caroline, and they were not subject to the conditions and the rules that were put on them if they had done it on land. And they used to play all the imports that we get from the States and everything. And it caught on because people started listening to it. And then that's how rock and roll started, you know? In England. Yeah. It's true. The only reason that the Brits got that fantastic music was from the sailors coming back from America and bringing back these records, and people started to play them. You know, otherwise they would never have got them. I don't know if it was legal that they did that, but if they hadn't have done it, they wouldn't have been any Beatles, they wouldn't have had any British Invasion. But that started a trend, you know. The difference with the English, though, and the charts over there, the people voted. It wasn't the corporates that voted. It was in record sales. If you sold enough records, then you made it to the top. Now the people at the top stay on the top. And I have to say it, the smaller, and there's some wonderful, spectacular talent out there that will never make it because they're not big enough to make it, whether you're a host like us or whether you're a performer or whatever it is. It's a lot harder to get up. I'm all about the people and democracy and let the people choose who to get up there and to give them more chances to do that.
We are getting a little more of that, though. I mean, not to reference the Buggles and Video Killed the Radio Star too much, but if you think about all the musicians who are breaking out on Instagram and YouTube and TikTok, they have platforms to finally express themselves, and it democratizes stuff a little bit. But you're right, it doesn't change the fact that the Mega Millions are made by the Mega Labels, who have the larger control over concert venues, as we're hearing with Ticketmaster these days. And album releases and tours.
Exactly right. We have to watch those monopolies. I'm all about freedom, and but I don't want to just have one airline I can go on. I just don't want one person saying it's $500 to go and see Genesis or whoever. I want other options of that. And that's what democracy is all about, is the sharing and division.
Absolutely. You know? Like right now, I'm so proud. I mean, I'm like in a candy store. So many artists from back in the day when I was growing up, now they're out here performing and everything. And to me, that was the best music ever.
Awesome.
So
tell me the artists and the performers which you love. I want to hear it from you.
Well, see, I'm going to go see my favorite, you know, I'm all about my women, my girls, and I love Toto. I love 702. I love Maya, you know, and I mean, it goes on and on with that list. I want to hear some of them, you know, it's, you know, Escape, I love them to death, but I miss a lot of the other young ladies that are talented and not being able to get that limelight that like they deserve, you know. So I'm glad to see that Keith Sweat. I love my Keith Sweat, you know. You know, and I'm looking forward to go see Music Soul Child. And also, you know, I was just telling my husband about besides Kenny G, which he's in another, you know, realm of music, but there are a couple of white boys, I tell you, they're so soulful that I did not know that they were white, and they are like jamming. I can't, I'm going to think of their names in a minute, but it is like, I'll go and see them, you know? And I even miss Boy George. I love Boy George.
Oh, yeah.
You see, another one, too. That's what I'm saying. There should be no prejudice in music. On race or music or whatever it is. Good music is good music. We could reverse that and go back to the Elvis days and people not realizing it was a white boy.
You know, I'm going to jump in
here. Yeah, I'm telling you, I didn't all that time. And I'm going to think of it. I'm thinking of it in a minute. I'm going to think of their names. But yes.
While you're thinking of that, we had an early episode that our fans love called The Brothers and Sisters of Soul. And we went back and we looked how both the UK and the USA had these great performers like the Three Degrees and P.B. Arnold. And at the same time, we also had Tom Jones. Very soulful.
But you know, this is what I'm saying. We can't separate. The ladies of soul aren't just ladies of color, of any color. The white, whatever color it is. When we did Ladies of Soul, we did Dusty Springfield, we did Lulu, you know, Gladys Knight, you know, Aretha Franklin. It doesn't matter what color, what race you are in that. If you're soulful and you sing soul, Adele or whoever the heck it is, let's don't divide it. Let's just put them out there all together. Just like we're one nation, one country, and one person under God, I'm determined to do everything I can in my little power to keep that and to spread that word.
Soul does raise the bar, though, because you got to really feel it or they're not going to feel it. And a good example I'll give is Joss Stone when she was like 16 years old. She's Scottish. And Aretha Franklin was like, I had no idea. I had no idea this kid's Scottish. Sounds like the next generation of soul.
Yes.
I have to say, so it's not true like what Eddie Murphy said, that white people dance like old people make love. That's not true. I was a dancer in my youth, and I got paid for it. I don't know if I can shake it and do the boogaloo as much now. You know, things start wearing out on you, you know?
I do enjoy pointing out the Austin Powers vibe when you imagine Steve as a go-go dancer in England in the 60s. Yeah, baby. There is that. Yeah, baby. It's my bag.
That's what we're saying. And that's our mission, and that's what we're all about. Happiness, goodness, sharing great music with people, introducing old music to the new generation too, just like you're keeping up with your kids, and I try and keep up with my kids and now my grandkids. That's a great thing to do. You know, sometimes we can get stuck in the past, but that's okay too. But, you know, like went to see the Stones last year, and we go to concerts all the time. And it makes my heart sore when I see parents and their kids and even grandkids going to these concerts.
Right.
That's what it's all about. It's that bonded and united, just like you going with your kids.
I love to see Fallout Boy. I'm actually wearing a Fallout Boy shirt from when
my you know what?
Yeah.
I got the name. Stevie Ray Vaughan. Ray Vaughan.
Oh, yeah.
He's soulful. I mean, very soulful. I was like, oh, okay. I'll go see him. He got some hits, too.
Yes.
He is absolutely an amazing guitar player. Just incredible, you know? But like you say, no matter who it is, where you're from, what your activity is, it's good, and I'm listening to it. And I'm not going to let anybody change my mind. And thank goodness we live in a country that we can do that.
Yeah,
we're fortunate, right? Yeah. Absolutely, we're very fortunate. What, tell you know, me, gentlemen, so what was the most difficult, what was the most difficult moment while starting your podcast show?
Wow. That's a good question, because I think we had the tech down pat. So I'd say our biggest struggle, I'm going to take this one for Steve. We love talking about music. We love sharing bits of music to underscore the point. And we're not violating any fair trade or copyright or other agreements. But the problem is when we get on the digital platforms like YouTube, we are immediately shut down by bots that don't care about rules and are just doing this because they might think some auto-detect thinks we're distributing music, but we do the opposite. So we've had to be very careful about where we're able to do our shows. And we also, our website, we show lists so that everybody can go buy that song if they want it. They can go to Amazon and get it. But the other piece of it, though, that's getting better, but this was a setback for us originally, it made it hard to monetize because we're not trying to capitalize on these artists. We're trying to promote them. But it also has gotten better because we started live streaming during the pandemic, and sometimes Warner or CBS or somebody, EMI, would just shut down the stream. And then we started having this happen where they would open it back up, which didn't used to happen. It used to be it was just a wall of robots and you couldn't communicate to anybody. But I think the labels are now more receptive and seeing that we're honestly trying to say something positive and promote other artists and get people happy about music.
Okay. Yeah, very well said, Yang. I totally agree with you. But that was our biggest obstacle because the big boys and the big industry, they can play the full song and that. But we said, you know what? That's okay. If we can introduce, do a little tidbit of that song and drag people and make them go to it and direct them to that great music, then we'll do it. And we've done it, and it's worked, and it's been a huge success. Did you say 38? I thought we were 52 countries now.
94
countries.
Really?
And you don't even know what I'm speaking. Not with this accent.
But that's okay. How did you guys come up with the name, though? The Limey and the Yank. Please tell me. Please.
That's it. Classic, great question, my love. That is classic. I'll tell you, it's a story my dad told me, because we've always fought in the same wars, the Brits and the Americans. And when you were on the destroyers, my dad was on the destroyer, a Navy officer, I'm proud to say, God bless, Memorial Day. And I said, why did they call us Limeys? You know, because the Americans or the Yanks, they used to see the men when they were on watch on the boat sucking on lime because they developed scurvy and they weren't, I get, the English diet isn't the best in the world, I'm sorry to say, you know, meat and potatoes and fish and chips and all that kind of stuff. So every time they go up and check on the Limeys or the fellow Englishmen in the same ward, they were sucking on those limes, maybe. So, well, America in the world now, I've been called a lot worse, you know, but you know, that's okay. We're called the Limeys. And everyone's a Yank.
Well, the other funny thing about that is my full name is Trenton Blake Bennett, and I do voiceover as Trenton Bennett, audiobooks and commercials and stuff. So the thing is, Steve and I are looking at the show, and he's like, you can't be Trenton on the show. They're not going to believe Trenton's the American guy and Steve's the English guy. You're going to confuse
him.
Right. That's why I go by Blake the Yank, because it's easier. Okay, so yeah, Blake sounds a little bit American, like an action hero.
That's right.
Steve. Steve's a nice name.
That's right. You know, and I was reading about both of you guys, and it was so interesting. And I was like, oh my God, because I thought, you know, a lot of us who are entrepreneurs, we wear a lot of hats. Yeah. But reading about you, I see, Steve, you from Manchester, England, master hairstylist, beauty product representative, national tanning show, and HSN, singer, dancer, DJ, photographer, product inventor, and you instruct hair cutting and color classes. Is that for Vidal Sassoon?
No, but if you look funny and you talk with an English accent and you jump up enough down and tell somebody how great this product is, they're going to buy it, baby. All I'm going to say is God bless America.
Yeah. That's right.
For all your listeners, since you brought up hair and hairstyling, if they're interested about life, then I was Terry Schiavo's hairstylist for many years. You know, they changed. In fact, they even gave her a new law because of it. But I won't go into the full story, but I was interviewed a documentary on NBC called The Life of Terry Schiavo, Between Life and Death, the Terry Schiavo Show. And they put me in it, and it's a really great story about life and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, I was subpoenaed at the court case, and I was promote, you know, because, you know, right to lifers and what's happening now with contraception and abortion rights and everything like that. And to be right in the middle of that frenzy and to be a witness through it and to be on both sides of the show, it's a really interesting documentary, not just because I'm in it, but all about life. And it's Between Life and Death, NBC, Peacock, Terry Schiavo's story.
And I think, Steve, the most important thing is that you said this to me before. It's really both the compassion and the caring. You took care of her after things were awful and she couldn't care for herself. You did that for the family.
Oh, well, that's very nice of you to say so.
I know you very much cared about what kind of story was going to be told about her and the importance of how much to value the life that you have. I've heard you say that about that to me before, and hearing that about this documentary, I'm not at all surprised that you come across as compassionate and true.
Oh, thanks. The text in the mail. You'll get it on Tuesday. They're not mailing today because it's a holiday. But thank you very much. But I just pointed that out because I think it would be a great thing to watch for people out there with all what's going on now with the controversy on life and contraception and all that kind of stuff. It gives you, you know, like I said, with the government, I'm all about democracy and government, but I don't want a government that's going to dictate to us, you know. I'm not going to get into politics, but we can kind of
Yes, you are. You're going to get in for politics. What did you say?
You're going.
And if you said it, Pamela, you're the one in the lead. I'm going to mention that they just had the Eurovision Song Contest. And all the great talent from around Europe go into it. Even ABBA, nobody ever heard of anything coming out of Sweden before. And you know how great and fantastic they've become and how popular. Now the governments between the wars and the violence have barred their artists from entering it. I'm not talking about saying they shouldn't have done that or should have. My own personal view is it shouldn't happen. You know, Russia wasn't in it. Israel wasn't in it. And I'm sure they've got some fantastic, wonderful artists that wanted the whole life to be in a show and to have a world as a stage. And they were barred from it. That's what scares me.
The artist has tried so hard, and they're not part of the political situation. They should not be made a gesture of when they are an independent. They're a person.
Right. Absolutely. I do agree.
They've been wanting to do this all their life.
Yeah.
And I think the connection to that is whether it's right of life, whether it's right of performance, whatever it is, we can't have anybody saying you can't do that.
Absolutely. We have to be authentic again. To speak that, to voice that, and to make sure that they understand where we're coming from. So, Blake,
yes,
born in Texas and raised all over America, from Kansas to Florida, a vid gamer, stage performer, IT extraordinaire, voiceover professional, and audiobook narrator, master of all trades. Tell me about your journey and why you decided to partner with Steve.
Well, the earlier bits about moving around as a kid left me with kind of a radio voice, I guess, because I didn't pick up any particular accent. I loved music. The fun part about it, though, was finally when I moved to Florida to be closer to my parents, because I'm an only child and they're going to need me as they get older. I lived in St. Petersburg, and I just happened to step into the salon, and Steve just happened to be assigned to me, and we started talking about music. And I discovered this incredible thing. Not only is he a beautiful personality with a lot of positivity and someone who is really good to see the joyful things, but his musical encyclopedia and mine were this beautiful Venn diagram that almost completely overlapped.
Oh,
we both had these encyclopedias of knowledge and we're like, this is so much fun to talk about. Yeah.
Wow.
We were like, we need to share this with people because we're having so much fun sharing all this, but there's so many other people who have the same kind of levels, you know, their little circles may overlap a little bit and we can bring them a little closer together by sharing more of what we know. And our differences made those shows more interesting.
Absolutely.
It was love at first sight, but this man is being modest because not only is a great host as the Yank, he is a magnificent talker and he can talk in all different accents. He has different characters. He's just a great actor, you know?
Yeah.
And just like on our show, it comes from the heart. He's dedicated and he tries to strive for perfection. And I think he's going to make it to the big, 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 big time. Hopefully you'll remember the limey. I'll throw him a few lines.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe he'll still keep in touch with me. You know.
That's right.
Vitamin C levels up while I'm overseas.
Yeah, but it's a pleasure and honor to work with him. We've been doing it for 7 years. And, you know, and I'll be honest, this is the highlight of our career, is being invited on a national platform. I could tell you how excited I am, but it would probably take me about 10 hours.
You're right.
You, my love,
shorter.
I researched you. I saw what you were all about, the positivity and what you want to present to people and what you want to give them. And I'm like, this lady contacted us. This is amazing. And, you know,
We loved your episode with Jazz for Peace, by the way, with Rick. That was cool.
Yeah, Jazz for
Peace. Oh, really?
Yeah, we listened to that. It was fantastic. And we're hoping to do something with him, too, you know, because he's all about what we do, too. So that was amazing. So I don't believe in coincidences nowadays. I believe that things happen
for a reason.
I think the good Lord puts us together, no matter how it does. We can't comprehend or understand it, but all I know is it works if we let him do it. That's my personal opinion in any way. And I love your haircut, by the way. Halle Berry, baby.
Just a stylist. There you go.
You're my Halle Berry.
I was just going to ask you about that. Do you like my haircut?
You know, you tell your stylist, Steve Atkins, hairstylist of the stars, with thumbs up. Whatever she's doing, and you be dedicated to your stylist.
Thank you so much.
Because we need dedicated. It looks beautiful on you.
I'm trying to grow my hair a little longer. Every time I grow it like past my ear, it just doesn't work for me. I cut my hair because when I was like, from 12 to 17, I had very long hair and I always just having a ponytail. And I was like, I used to run track and, you know, I run a lot. And I was like, no, I don't want no more hair. It just got on my nerves. So I cut it off when I was 18. And ever since I've been wearing short hair, and it's like, that's me. That is me. I can have a bad day, just, and just keep it going. So, yeah.
You got the message because it's all about, just like life is a balance, it's all about hair being a balance. You got the right head shape. You got the right physique. You got the right look. And it's perfect on you. You know, it's like if you have a really tall person and they've got really short hair, it doesn't look good on them. It's a question like life of balance. And never change. It looks great.
Thank you.
You heard it here first.
It looks fabulous, you know. But like I say, I'm a big fan of style. And you've got it. You've got it. In
well,
a big
thank
way.
You so much. Yes. You hear that, you guys? I got it. Okay. So are you cutting hair now? Are you training or?
No, I pretty much sit with music and grandchildren and enjoying gardening and all that. I get people that ask me, but I kind of keep it in the family now.
Okay.
Not that I don't love my ex-clients and everything, and I still have a passion for it, but I only do it with very close friends and family. But they have to wait. But they can't beat the deal, right?
Right.
You're lucky enough to be on the short list. I've got a connection.
So, Blake, are you narrating right now, or what are you doing?
Lord, yes, I am in the middle of three different audiobook series, which is a lot for me to take on simultaneously. But yeah, I've got a romance thriller that's got a little bit of comedy to it called Don't Let Them See that just came out. And it is the second of a series of five. The third one is about to start recording this week. I also have an older series that I did that was science fiction that's been released as a compendium. But I'm doing a new science fiction series that will be coming out any day now, and it's volume 3 of a really fascinating saga that has to do with a combination of digital immortality and exploring other life forms beyond in the stars, other alien civilizations, and it's cool.
You have to give me an example. I need an example. Can you give me one? Can you give me something?
It's brilliant. Yes. Robert G. Willis-Croft is doing this series called The Oort Chronicles, and they've created a spaceship the size of a city with a tiny black hole being contained in the middle to provide the energy. It's a little bit like a Dyson sphere, but squished. And so it gets really into hard science fiction, and they're traveling, and they come to this place where there is a lizard-based race of life forms that have three separate nations. And the introduction of humans suddenly showing up on their doorstep has changed everything for them. And so the humans are kind of helping them adjust to that without going to war and hopefully preventing a complete catastrophe.
Hmm. So I am a award-winning author myself.
Awesome.
I had written the book, A Journey of a Sapphire. And A Journey of a Sapphire gives you all the details about my journey moving forward towards success. And I tell you, I have been through some obstacles and challenges. However, I need a narrator to, because a lot of people don't like to just read the book. They would want someone to read it for them. So what are the steps that I need to do?
So it's beautiful because you can perform the book and you can go through, I actually have a couple of different pieces of material I can send you. I help authors figure this out. ACX is known as the Audiobook Creators Exchange, and that's what Amazon uses. And I mention it because when you narrate and perform the book, okay, I really love just to have someone read to me. They don't necessarily need sound effects or music or multiple actors, though that happens too. With a story that's biographical and you narrating it, that can have a feature called whisper sync. Mm-hmm. And what that means is someone who's reading the book may then need to get in the car and go take the kids. So they put the book down and it remembers where it is. They put the audiobook on in their car and it picks up where they left off. Then they get home, they stop the audiobook and it syncs up and they pick up the digital book and there it is right where they left off. They can flow in and out of reading and listening. And they call that immersive reading too. Sometimes they'll put on the audiobook and read while they're listening.
Okay. So I can hire someone to narrate that book, my book for me, correct?
You can, yes.
And you can hire this guy.
Yeah, I was just getting ready to ask him that. So I can hire you to narrate it, and I do. I want all the sound, the effects, because you know it's real deep. If you read my book, then you'll be like, oh my God, it's very heartfelt. It'll make you cry, but then it'll make you feel totally good because of the challenges that I have overcame and that accolades that I have. And one of them is being absolutely recognized by Queen Elizabeth. So yes, so you know,
wow.
You can't complain about that, right?
Oh, that is amazing. Britannia, that is unbelievably fantastic.
Absolutely, and it was such a blessing, and I was absolutely humbled when I was chosen for being in the section of women of empowerment, and that is good because that's what I like to do. And I am such a beautiful person inside with a beautiful soul. But one thing that I had to learn on my journey is not to be taken advantage of. Because a lot of times people tend to take your kindness for weakness. And here you are being really, really sincere about some of the things that you're doing, trying to help people or trying to help someone. And here they're just like sucking it up like Satan. I tell you, you have to like put that back out there. Okay.
You have to learn it's okay to say no when you have to protect yourself.
Yeah, that is so true.
You're doing such a wonderful thing in life, Pamela. I must say, just to chip in here, my favorite stories are biographies and people on, maybe I'm just nosy, where they came from and where they went to and
absolutely
what took them from the bottom to the top, whether it's Angela's Ashes, whether it's anybody that has made it, the people that have been through the turmoil, the aches and the pains, and to get there, which is life, have become the most predominant in my life. And we talked about that through music too. The things you go through, you know. And for you to do that, to inspire people, I'm a big softie anyway, but you bring tears to my eyes. I think that's incredible. And to be able to get that out to an audience and to help that, because it helps people, because more people are struggling that way, and you're offering them a way and saying, this is what I did, and this is how I got to where I got to. And I want to share it with you so it can help you achieve your goals and your loves. And, you know.
Inspiring.
It is. Very inspiring. I do agree. Absolutely. So tell me what you guys have going on now within the podcast. What's next?
Well, our next show, matter of fact, which we just recorded, was about albums, which is concept albums. You know, like in the past, people just had songs on their albums. We talked about people that developed a whole different concept and a story, just like you're a storyteller and Blake's a storyteller and you're writing your own story. Albums like the Beatles, Sgt. Pepper's, I Did, and David Bowie's Ziggy Stardust and the Spiders from Mars, and how they made stories up from their own individual lives, created songs in those stories, and put them all in one album. Like when the Beatles did Sgt. Pepper's, they're like, we don't want to be the Beatles anymore. All right. The people scream at us, we've gone as far as we can. We're going to change our name. We're going to change our style. We're going to change all the instruments that we use. We're going to, and they did that. They brought in classical instruments. They brought in circus instruments. They brought in everything. They even changed the name, Sgt. Pepper. And look what happened. And going back to like rock and roll and rebels, and like you said, there's so many roadblocks in life, like people stopping you from doing and writing that book. Unless you're willing to have the faith and the strength and the determination to get through that, we're not going to achieve greatness in this life.
Absolutely.
God bless you and the people that do that. That push themselves that way. No, I mean that from the, bottom of my, I mean that from the bottom of my heart. And I look at all the movies and music and all the dance and all that stuff. I have to say my favorites, and I'm not a masochist, but it's Kung Fu. The people that have gone through those challenges.
Absolutely.
That have had to face it and say, I am getting out of this life, and I don't care what anybody else says around me.
Absolutely. And,
you know, we are made stronger by your example. Yes.
Yeah. And that's the reason why I fight for the 45.5% of women motivational speakers, because if you really listen to them, they are the ones who have gone through a lot of trials and tribulations and obstacles and challenges, and you're able to share that. And that takes guts. It takes guts to get on that stage. It takes guts to tell your story and for someone to understand, but you're changing, even if it's one life. That one person in that audience can feel that pain and can say, oh my God, if she did it, then I know that I have an opportunity. And that is who Pamela L. Henderson is. And that is what I do.
Wonderful.
I absolutely love that. And I think it's education with people too, you know?
Yes.
It's, I have to brag about my wife. She's a chair of the education department at university, Dr. Atkins. She's got the brain. I don't want to call myself talented, but I'm the dancer and the talker, you know. But and she educates people. She wrote books too on education and reading, and she teaches everybody to read. And if people can read books like what you're bringing out, and to help and change people's lives, then we're doing a wonderful thing. And I hate to say it, the criminals and the bad people that do end up in prison, 95% of the people that end up are uneducated, haven't got a high school degree, landed up in the street. I'm not saying that educated people can't be villains and stuff, but if you look at the percentages, if you get that one person that's out in the bad way, whether they're on drugs or not, and they read it and they go, wow, this person actually, I can't believe they did that. If they can do it, why can't I do it?
Absolutely.
It's so harder if you can't.
I do agree.
Basic education, and you miss out. And of course, my generation was the first one they started talking about things like learning disabilities, dyslexia, you know, even later generations talking about autism and other emotional difficulties that made it hard for you to get that basic education.
So true.
Dyslexia. So true. I suffered from it in high school. Everyone, they thought I was a dummy. I probably am a dummy anyway, but
you know, you're not.
But, no, thank you. But my wife, you know, education, Dr. Atkins, and you marry somebody that isn't that great at reading. I'm more visual, but everybody's different.
Everybody's different.
There again, it's like putting everybody, people into categories. They're this, so they can't be that way. So
I know.
I can't read to it. I won't read your books. I'm not a great reader, but I'm going to wait till this guy
narrates my book. He's going to narrate.
And then I can put my headphones and listen. And also by doing that, you're broadening your outlook and your audience around the world. And you're getting it out there to people that can't read, you know, just like music, reading now. You can be blind, you can be disabled, but you can still listen to
listen.
Books.
You can still listen.
You can still listen to music.
Yes,
as
yes.
The Romans said, fellow countrymen, lend me your ears. So we need to get the great positive stuff, whether it's a great story like yours, or whether it's great music and positive and make people's lives better, healthier, and more loving and kind and sincere, and spreading that through your story and music, then I think we're on the right track.
Bravo. That's right. Well, gentlemen, I am up for time. We got to come back and finish this conversation, honestly. So I am going to stay in touch with you guys. I am going to be calling you about narrating and everything, but tell us how our, you know, tell the readers how they can contact you guys for.
I got this one because I do this on our response on our roles all the time. So you can find us at classicrockbattles.com. That's easy to remember, Classic Rock Battles. But it's the Classic Rock Battles, the Limey and the Yank. So if you forget that, you can go to the limeyandtheyank.com, and there we are, same place, same us, wherever you get your podcasts. Apple, Android, whatever podcatcher you use, just look for Classic Rock Battles, the Limey and the Yank. You'll see that American Brit flag with that rock guitar neck, and you can't fail to recognize it. I am at Trenton at TrentonBennett.com when it comes to anything voiceover related, and my website is TrentonBennett.com. In the meantime, I and our show are both on Facebook, and we're trying to get better about Instagram, and you can find us on LinkedIn as well.
All right. Well, readers, I have reached my destination, and I leave you with this quote. Only those who dare to fall greatly can ever achieve greatness. Robert Kennedy. Until next time, please have a beautiful day. And again, thank you to our soldiers and veterans. God bless.
God bless you. God bless.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Cheers.
Thank you for listening to All Roads 65 Max Radio with Pamela Henderson. Join us every other week on Tuesdays, 11 a.m. Pacific Time, 2 p.m. Eastern Time on BBS Radio Station 1. And please visit allroads65max.org and become a volunteer or sponsor and be the change you want to see in this world. With your help, we can make a difference in our society and uplift those who so desperately need our help. Thank you for tuning in.